message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
I want to introduce our guests, Ryan and Lacey Moore. Their son Asher is with us. Her daughter wasn't feeling too well and stayed home, but Ryan graduated with his degree in civil engineering from Lamar University. Lacey graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, childhood education from University of Houston at Clear Lake. While in college, the U.S. Navy presented a new program for civil engineering students, and Ryan felt God was opening a door. And so he went that direction, and God called him to missions, but it's a particular type of missions. It's construction missions, and for the next 6.5 years, Ryan served in the Navy as a civil engineer officer, and they began serving with Builders International in July 2007, and today they are the director and CEO over that. And so he's going to tell you a little bit more about that. I'll say this as well. I don't know about Lacey, but Ryan is a PK, so preacher's kid. Lacey, you? Nope. You're a PGK, a preacher's grandkid. All right. But anyway, Ryan and Lacey or Asher and Asher are here today. Would you give Ryan and Jesus a good hand as he comes?
Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. Yes, I'm a preacher's kid. Lacey married the preacher's son, and I don't think she's regretted it too much yet to this point. But I'll tell you what, Pastor Mike, can we show appreciation to Pastor Mike and Sister Teresa this morning? As a preacher's kid, I know the preacher's wife is always tough, but as it's been presented, Pastor Mike even, he had to say, hey, it's not on me. She showed up by her own means and by her own will. And I can just say, being a preacher's kid, preacher's wives have to be tough. And it's great to see Sister Teresa here this morning. Well, let me introduce my family. I know Pastor just did. I got a picture of my whole family. Since Lindsay's not here, we'll show. Lindsay and Asher, if y'all would please stand up and turn around and say hello this morning and wave. So we're the Moore family. You've been supporting us as missionaries, I believe, since when we first came here. It was in like 2007 or so during our itineration when we first started with Builders. You've been supporting us this entire time. We so appreciate your generosity, your giving. And here recently, coming on board and working with us in Vanuatu on the project there. I'll share a little bit more about that here in just a few minutes, but I just want to say how much I appreciate your giving and generosity. It is a unique season. It's a very unique season in the world, but something that is really amazing is our people, our fellowship is very generous and has continued giving even through the economic uncertainty of the last couple of years. I've really been just, it's been extraordinary. Not that I had any doubt, but when you go through those seasons, you think, wow, people are going to stop giving to missions. They're going to stop giving to the church. That's not happening. If you're here, that's because God's called you here. Your heart is here, and I appreciate that. I love the scripture that you shared this morning, Pastor Mike, out of Proverbs. There's a saying I like. It goes like this. I heard a man, some call him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. And that's kind of like the Dr. Seuss version of Proverbs 11:24 there. And I'll tell you, you would be glad to know this. We live in Ozark, Missouri. I'll share a little more about where we are and what all we do. But Buc-ee's is a phenomenon that's been taking over the world. I don't know if you know that. And, you know, the further it gets away from this area, which I think they started right here in this area. And we actually have a Buc-ee's coming to Springfield, Missouri on I-44. We were so excited. Lacey's like, and they can't wait. And I was like, no, if you go in that place, you're there forever. It's like, so anyway, Freeport is you know, coming to Springfield, Missouri via Buc-ee's. Well, we're honored to be here this morning. I want to start with a story. We really get to see a lot of what God's doing around the world, working with a variety of missionaries and national churches. But a year and a half ago, there was a pastor named Pastor Mukesh, a little over a year and a half ago, pastoring in the state of Bihar, India. And Pastor Mukesh and his wife, Serbi, they were at home in the middle of the night. They had two young kids, And all of a sudden, there was a knocking, a banging on their door. Pastor Mukesh goes to the door. His wife hears a bunch of stirring around and a lot of noise. She hides her and her kids. And all of a sudden, her husband's drug out of the house by an angry mob. A mob that was opposed to them because he's a Christian pastor. She goes to the window, peeks out, and sees her husband literally be drug away. That's the situation that many of our partners around the world face. It turned out he was being falsely accused and then imprisoned. Amazingly, his wife rose to the occasion. During that season, she began to minister and pastor the church in his absence. Last month, I got to travel to Bihar, where we're actually helping build a church in that same state, in that same area where he is. And just before traveling there, we got a call that he had a chance to fight the charges and needed help with legal fees. And so we sent a very small amount of money to help. And God opened the door. I want to show this next picture. God is working there. I got to go meet Pastor Mukesh. He was released from prison right before we made it there, and I got to meet Pastor Mukesh. God, my friends, is at work and working on the behalf of our friends around the world. I don't know that we had it, but we'll show that picture here at some point. I might have had a couple of my slides out of order. And the church is facing persecution. Pastor has alluded to this this morning. We are seeing things and facing things in our culture that we couldn't hardly imagine. And when that happens, though, the church always rises up. And yes, there's a shakeup, there's a mix-up, but our friends that we are partner with around the world that are part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship, they face persecution that really is difficult to imagine. And you know what? The church is not hurting because of it in terms of growth and numbers. In fact, the church is flourishing. So you support us as missionaries with Builders International. You've partnered with us to help build the Tana Mission Center in Vanuatu. I'll share more about that. But one of the things that we are doing at Builders International, we've got an initiative called Project Shovel Ready. And we're working with missionaries all over the world who have a building underway that they need to be able to reach more people with the gospel. Project Shovel Ready has been very effective in helping to move projects forward. I'm going to play a video here for you this morning that just will give you an idea of some of the things that you're a part of doing through your partnership with us at Builders International. Hi friends, Ryan Moore here with Builders International. Right now we have 30 shovel-ready projects moving forward all around the world. Here's a glimpse of some of the things that you are making possible. In Katowice, Poland, we just started a new project that I'm so excited about, working with our missionary partners from Ukraine, now helping to build a refugee center that will make room for 160 refugees, mostly women and children, separated from their husbands. We have teams going in back to back to help make this project ready as soon as possible. Our project in Mallorca, Spain is also moving forward. On this island nation, it will be the first Christian church built since 1960. We're so excited to be working with Pastor Daniel and Naomi, who lead a passionate and growing congregation of over 1,500 people. They have currently highly limited space. We're excited to be partnering with them to help finish their new building, the Mallorca Christian Center. Not only will it offer more space for the congregation, but also a Bible training center for the preparation of pastors and leaders, along with space for the growing Sunday school program. The work is nearing completion now, but they are struggling with high inflation. Please pray with us that God will provide and the work will move forward all the way to completion. In Uruguay, we are working with dynamic missionaries, Steve and Jill McCarthy. They are working with the National Church to build 100 churches in Uruguay. Churches number 13, 14, 15, and 16 have been funded and dedicated thanks to you. And
And now, the Pemba Ministry Center in Mozambique is nearing completion. Despite the COVID shutdowns and terrorist groups attacking cities all around, this project continues to move forward. Once complete, this project will minister to the unreached, train leaders to plant churches, and be a resource to the local church to disciple new believers. The Home of Hope Dental and Medical Clinic in Bangladesh is now moving forward. Once complete, this project will provide children at the Home of Hope Orphanage with all of the medical and dental help they need. Thanks to you, we have money on the ground now and are purchasing dental equipment. Along with this, the work is now ready to begin on the inside of the building. You can also send your missions team to come help us work on the project. Build Bihar is a project in India where we are partnering to build Grace Church. This is the only church ministering to a community of over 6 million people. This is in a community where Christians are persecuted. The church faces direct opposition. As the church grows, they are constantly kicked out of their rented facility as soon as the landlord learns just who they are worshiping. This three-story facility will provide a permanent, stable place of worship for over 250 people, a children's ministry space, a grade school for underprivileged children, and a technical training space for the Women's Empowerment Training Program. They teach sewing, tailoring, and all kinds of handcrafts. This will be the first church building owned by the National Church in this entire area. Thanks to you, they've broken ground, soil testing has begun. Soon, there will be a church in Bihar, India. All of this was made possible because of your generous giving. This was just a brief update on 6 of the 30 shovel-ready projects. Thanks to you, work is moving forward all over the world as you help build God's kingdom through Project Shovel Ready.
Amen. Your giving makes a difference, my friends, and we have such a pleasure working with Builders International and missionaries all around the world. Even now, we've got teams that are beginning to travel again. People are ready to travel. We've got a crew right now building a church in Honduras, one in Panama right now. Their South Texas District actually just sent a team to go help work, the first team to work there in Poland on the refugee center. They're just back, had a great trip. God is moving around the world. And Vanuatu, by the way, is going. I'll show you a picture here in a few minutes. It's really cool what's happening there. And so what does Builders International do? We really have a fantastic a ministry that we get to be a part of. And what we're doing is we find effective missionary and national church leaders where God is at work and they need a building to reach more people. One thing about a building is it's useless without people there that are leading and serving. And it's only an effective tool when there's leaders there who use that building to minister. And so we have the opportunity, every location we're working, there are godly men and women that are leading a ministry that we get to be a part of. And in Vanuatu, those people are missionaries Sam and Lisa Paris. The Parises have served in Vanuatu. Now they're on their second term. They are a family of 6. They have 4 kids, and they have been living in 480 square feet. That's little bitty, 480 square feet. So they're both missionary kids themselves. They gave up everything that they had to move to Vanuatu, living on this very, very remote island to serve the Lord and to minister the gospel there. And they've done so sacrificially. And I'm excited to tell you right now that the building is moving forward. The roof is going on the mission house even now as we speak. And that's because of your generosity. The Tana Mission Center that we're building, it will be both a house and a ministry center. So that's underway right now. And there's something about this particular location, Vanuatu, that's unique. I mean, it's like the National Geographic kind of location. When you think about, when you say the word missionary, this is one of those places where only real missionaries go there. Lacey and I have a fantastic job. Our family, we love what we do. We serve through the missionary, calling. But if we were a real missionary, we'd be living in Vanuatu. And so because of that, they have some really interesting stories and things that they faced. And a little secret about Vanuatu is that they just outlawed cannibalism there in the 80s. Okay, so just a few years ago, that's not long ago. So cannibalism is, it's been real and prevalent. In fact, some of the early missionaries that moved to this island became somebody's dinner. And because of that, there's great respect actually now among the people there because they know that these people sacrificed to come bring them this good news. Well, recently, Sam shared this story with me. They were at a pastor's installation, and they had some visitors in from the United States. And it's very remote, so they went to town to kind of a store where they would have some food, and they bought they were making soup. They were using a can of corned beef. It said corned beef on the can. He said and said China, made in China. And they were with the village chief, with the pastors, and with the elders, and they were scraping the stuff out of this can into a bowl. And he heard a weird clink in the can. He's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Let me see that can. He took the can, and he looked in it, and he pulled out an actual human tooth out of the can of corned beef. Now, it probably was just, you know, by accident. But either way, he was like, I'm sorry. We cannot eat this, guys. Hey, we love you. We're in it with you. But if we eat this, we could get sick. It's, like, actually dangerous. And the guy stirring the pot, an older gentleman, looked out of from where he was cooking. He said, oh, that's no problem. I still remember the last time I ate a person. I can have the soup. So that's Vanuatu, all right? Even some of the believers remember the last time they had human meat. Okay, all right. So for those of you who may be interested, we have a construction team going to work in Vanuatu, you know, so I just did that as a little plug if you want to come with us. Well, we have a fantastic fellowship that's really has made an impact all over the world. And it's really because of the core of our fellowship where we started was all about missions. We were founded in 1913, and at our second general council, the chairman at the time, now would be called general superintendent, he said, we commit ourselves to him for the greatest evangelism that the world has ever seen. That's a big prayer. That's a big hope. And God has blessed us because of that. And we simply believe the Great Commission in Acts 1:8 that says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And God has gone before us, given our missionaries that travel unbelievable boldness, our national church partners. And today, because of that, there are over 2,700 missionaries with our fellowship in 252 countries and territories. Almost 70 million people are part of our fellowship. It's over 69 million people. And that has been made possible because of people responding to a call and the generosity of our friends and partners giving. Billy Graham was credited with saying this. I've heard multiple people say this. He said, I have found that anywhere in the world I go, I can find a cold Coca-Cola and an Assemblies of God church. And I don't know if he actually said it or not, but I will say I found that statement to be very true. If you've traveled, I dare you to look up the Assemblies of God and see what church might be around there close. And that's just the way it works. But I'll tell you what, our church is still committed fully to the Great Commission. And we'll be doing that until we're out here, right, Pastor Mike? We're here to occupy until he comes. And I just want to encourage you this morning. God's at work, and your giving is making an impact. And I so appreciate that. And, you know, this the missionary success that God has given our fellowship actually creates a problem for many of our missionaries. So imagine you spend a year and a half or 2 years itinerating, raising your funds. You sell everything you own. You move to Vanuatu. You live thousands of miles away from your support network. And, you know, your ministry begins to grow, or your national church partners are in a growth stage and they need a building. And so you're going to need help fundraising for that building. Many of the places that the church is growing, they are financially, economically, in a place where it's much more difficult to build. Rebar and cement cost the same pretty much all over the world, but when financially you make so much less, it just makes it that much bigger of a challenge. So missionaries come up against those kind of hurdles on a normal basis, and that's where Lacey and I actually, we received our call. As a preacher's kid, I was in, we had a missionary in service, and we went to lunch with them afterwards, and the missionary was sharing stories of growing up. Their parents were also missionaries, and they were sharing stories of how big of a challenge it was when their family had to build something. God had used them in some pretty big ways, and they had to build several buildings. And this was one of the biggest challenges their family faced. That was in a season where I wasn't sure what God was calling me to do. But after that conversation, I knew immediately, I don't know what it's going to look like, but someday God's going to use me to help missionaries get their buildings built when they need them. And today, one new believer every minute because of our fellowship. That's over 500,000 people receiving salvation, coming to Him per year. And there's a new church planted every hour with our fellowship. Imagine that, every hour, another church planted. That's almost 9,000 per year. So your giving is making a difference. I'm going to share a little bit more about Tana here in a minute. But I just want to share a brief missions message with you while I'm here this morning. And I want us to take a look here in just a moment at the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. We're going to use that for our scripture. And here's the situation. It's 539 BC, and the Jews are in exile, and Jerusalem is in ruins. The temple was destroyed 50 years earlier by Babylon. And all the Jews were taken captive to Babylon. So here they are, hundreds of miles away, and their world has been turned upside down. But there's a new king and a new empire. Persia just defeated Babylon, and King Cyrus, he's the new king. So that's what's going on right behind the scripture. And let me read Ezra 1:1-6. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what the king of Persia says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem." Verse 5, "Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all their freewill offerings." So here we are in the first year of this king's rule, a pagan king. God moves on his heart and appoints him to build a temple. And he makes that known. After years of oppression, all of a sudden, the Jews have an amazing opportunity. And at the center of this opportunity is going back to rebuild the temple. This opportunity, though, came with a substantial challenge, a wide variety of challenges. First of all, building the temple was going to be very expensive. It was going to cost a lot. They faced political challenges. None of the surrounding communities around Jerusalem wanted that kingdom to come back. Nobody wanted Jerusalem to come back to power. There was a security problem. At that point, the wall around Jerusalem had been destroyed. The people there in Jerusalem had no way to protect themselves. Anybody who was going to go back to Jerusalem was going to a very difficult and dangerous situation. And on top of that, the task, the physical task of building the temple. It was going to be an extremely physical job to get that the temple rebuilt. There were certainly plenty of reasons not to go and to respond to the opportunity that had been placed before them. But there was a response. And what I want us to do this morning is just to consider three thoughts from Ezra that I believe relate to how we do missions. It's a missions message. 3 points from Ezra. And the first point is this. God opens impossible doors. God opens impossible doors. Ezra 1 says, the Lord moved on the heart of King Cyrus of Persia to make a proclamation and put it in writing. You know, when God moves on the heart of a pagan leader who makes the proclamation, we're going to build the temple, God just opened an impossible door. God moved on the heart of a pagan king to help build his temple. And I have to tell you, it brings me comfort knowing today with the things that we're seeing around our world that God can move on the heart of any leader for his purposes. And if we ever wonder if God is in control, we can just look right here at Ezra and remember, God is in control. Regardless of who calls himself king, God is in control. Amen? So God can open impossible doors. Another point that we can take away from this is this. God moves the heart of his people to go. It's interesting, in Ezra 1:5, then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. At the core of our world mission sending effort are people who feel and sense the call of God when God moves on their heart to go, and they respond and they say yes. And I know there are many parents and grandparents who have been very disappointed when their kids start saying, I feel like I'm called to be a missionary. It's like, oh no, I'm losing you. Where are you going to go? That's at the heart of our fellowship and how we work. 2,700 missionaries in 252 countries and territories. Everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go. In Jerusalem, or I should say in Babylon, there were approximately 1 million Jews at the time that were living in exile. Really, they had comfortable lives by that point. They had spent enough time there, whether they were slave, whatever situation they were living in, they found a new life. Of those 1 million Jews who all had the opportunity to go, only about 50,000 packed up and moved back to Jerusalem to go be a part of the work. That's about 5%. So everybody did not go, only those people who God called. One of the neat things with our fellowship as well is that many people are called to go short term. There are a number of people who go on short term mission trips. And you may look at that and say, boy, what could a short term team do? You know, what can we really get done? And I'll say from talking to many national church leaders and missionaries, the involvement of people on short term teams has just been, it's invaluable. You can't put it into, you really can't put it into writing, but I will say that it will change your life if you ever have the opportunity to go on a short-term trip. But God moves on the hearts of people to go. That's how missions works today. The Assemblies of God is kind of like what's happening right here in the book of Ezra. And Pastor, we have a couple of trips that are coming up that are open for anyone to join. And if you, I don't know if you might be interested in going on a trip. One or two people could jump on a trip. We got them coming up in September and October, going to El Salvador and then Poland. So I could share with you more information about that. But if you would be interested, I'd love to tell you more about it. So the way missions works, number one, these takeaways. God opens impossible doors. Number two, God moves on the heart of his people to go. And number three, all their neighbors helped them with finances. Ezra 1:6 said, all their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts in addition to all the free will offerings. I find it interesting that as slaves for only 50 years, they had amassed silver and gold, goods and livestock. That to me is just amazing. From the beginning, God has funded his work of building his kingdom through the generosity of his people. That's how things work. 1 Chronicles 29:2, David was speaking to the Israelites about building the first temple. He said, "With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God." And he shares more and more. Galatians 6:10 says this, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are in the family of believers." That's what happens when you give to missions, when you give to a missions project, when you give to a missionary. You're supporting the body of believers around the world who need you in that moment. And I think it's really interesting that in the book of Acts, in the early church, in Acts 4, the church faces extreme persecution right away. Peter and John in Acts 4 were thrown into prison. And at the end of Acts 4, the church rises up and begins to sell their own property, give to each other. There's no one in need, because in times of persecution, the church rises up and expresses a godly generosity. So some of us are called to go, and all of us are called to give to help those who go. There's no bottomless pit funding Assembly of God World Missions and missionaries. It comes because of people just like you who give so faithfully. I just want to say thank you for your giving. Your missions giving is making a difference. You know, what is God moving on your heart to do, I would ask? And we know that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And you've proven that your heart is, through your giving, your heart is in God's kingdom. But here's what I love, and I get to see this firsthand. 2 Corinthians 9:12 says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people," this service being the service of giving, "not only is it supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." Your need is supplying the need of believers, and it's bringing glory to God. I can't tell you how many pastors, especially national church pastors, having just been in India, they are always floored. They just don't know how to express, "I can't believe people are giving from America to help us build this church here in the middle of Bihar, India. How do they even know we exist?" And your giving is so often an answer to someone's prayer and lifelong challenge. One of those places is the Tana Mission Center. And the missionaries there, Sam and Lisa, really have been ordained by God to be there, and he's shown himself really strong. I shared the tooth story earlier. Let me share another story that Sam just recently told me. So in this particular island nation, they're tribal, so they have chiefs in various communities, and you have access to a community when the chief says, "You're welcome." You can trek all over the island, walk all around, and they won't be aggressive or mean to you, but you don't get to just step into a community and start sharing the gospel. And they had one particular community on one of their treks that was very resistant. The chief would be cordial, but he wouldn't let him have access to the public pulpit, so to speak. But at the end, they were, at the end of their conversation and interaction, they were facing an extreme drought at the time, which is unique in Vanuatu. So they're having a drought, and they were actually doing a ceremony where they have a shaman, and it's called pulling the rain. So they got these rocks laid out, and they're doing this some sort of a ritual. And, of course, to no avail, to no effect. And while Sam was there, he said a kid comes up with this bucket. They had to hike way down to wherever they were getting water because their water was low. And it was muddy, nasty water, and that's all that this village could get. But the chief asked Sam to pray for them before he leaves. He said, "Hey, would you pray for us?" Even though he wouldn't give him access, he said, "Would you pray?" And so Sam prayed a very simple prayer. He said, "God bless this community. God bless these people." That was all. And when he turned around and began to walk away, it started raining on the village right behind him. And as he walked, he didn't disappear. You know, he's having to walk slowly. It's hours of hiking up and down through the mountains. And he begins to walk, and the rain is following him. He's not in the rain. The rain's following him. And he continued to hike all the way down the mountain and all the way down to where their Speed the Light vehicle was parked. And as they're hiking down the mountain, somehow the word travels faster than even the rain. And the chiefs down the mountain are saying, "Keep walking, come our way." And they get in their vehicle. You can't make this stuff up. They get in their vehicle and they start driving across the island. And the rain continues to follow them in their vehicle all the way across the island. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And those are the kind of ways that God shows himself strong and opens doors. And that's happening in Tana. I've got a picture here of the roof going on, I believe. This is of the Tana Mission Center roof. This is happening right now as we speak. Interestingly enough, because they're such a remote island, they never had a COVID outbreak until about 2 months ago. They've had no COVID on the island. In fact, the Paris family has not left Tana since March of 2020. It was before that, but they have not been able to leave the island because of that. I should say the nation. You can go island to island, but not leave there. Well, COVID just hit 2 months ago, and because of that, everything locked down solid. Fortunately, they had a number of supplies on the ground, and their guys, their crew kept working. And they were actually on another island buying supplies and were stuck there for the last, it's 9 weeks going on 10. And Sam just sent me this message yesterday. He said, "Looks like we'll be able to travel near the end of the week or the following. Domestic travel has opened up, but Tana has its own task force that is making roadblocks and quarantining people. Right now, they make people quarantine for 7 days in basically a cubicle built on a platform with no windows in the middle of a field." LOL, he said. "So we are waiting for that to stop, but it seems like that will be soon. So they'll be back, but even now they've already been able to send a shipment of the supplies from the island where they were, and their workers are putting the roof on and moving forward, and soon they'll be working on the mission side of that project as well. Thank you so much for helping keep that work moving forward there in Tana. I know that your giving is going to be making a huge impact for years to come, helping to invest in the Tana Mission Center. And I just want to close with a brief prayer, and then I've got a video that will give you some more information, a little update on what's happening in Tana. My prayer for you would be this from Psalm 65:11. The New Living Translation says it this way: "You crown the year with the bountiful harvest. Even the hard paths overflow with an abundance." Father, I thank you for our friends here at Angleton First. I thank you for their generosity, even in a season where there's so much unknown. Father, I just pray right now that even in the hard paths, that they would experience the abundance that comes only because of the supernatural provision that comes when we follow you. And Father, I ask that you would continue to use Angleton First, not only in world missions and abroad, but right here at home. Thank you for the new lives you're bringing on Wednesday night, for the youth, for the work that you're doing here. I pray that you would continue to bless every giver, every prayer, every partner here. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's an update on Tana.
This is the island of Tana, among the 80 other islands of Vanuatu, deep in the South Pacific. The first missionaries who arrived in Vanuatu were cannibalized, paving the way with their own blood for other missionaries to come. The country is steeped in customs that have been intact for hundreds, even thousands of years. Our missionary partners, Sam and Lisa Paris, along with their four children, are pushing back the darkness today as they minister to many people living in villages throughout Tana. In 2015, Sam and Lisa Paris answered the call to serve as missionaries on the island of Tana. Since then, their family of six wakes up every day covered in ash from a nearby volcano. They live in a home of only 480 square feet. And yet, God has endured their hearts to the people. And their vision and ministry opportunities have continuously grown. Years ago, God birthed a vision in the Parris' heart to travel with their family to minister to the people of Tana. They have faced many challenges, ranging from the remoteness and inaccessibility of the island to acceptance by tribal leaders. But today, God is opening doors and expanding their ministry. Let's let Sam take us there. This day, he journeyed village to village and was met by a chief's son who led him to his father's hut.
Just as we were about to finish our trek, we came across one last isolated village. First, we introduced ourselves. Then the chief's son told me he has been waiting for you. Next, he led us to a hut in the corner of the village. Inside, we were met by a village elder who is blind. He told us he had a dream about last night. In the dream, he saw two men. He said he knew they were men who belonged to God. Next, he saw the men visiting him in his hut. With tears falling down his face, he told us he had been waiting for us.
Since then, God has not stopped moving. Sam and Lisa's prayer has been that God would show up in a tangible way, and that is what he has done. There are still a multitude of challenges that face the Parris family. That is why we are coming alongside the Parris family to build the Tana Mission Center.
And right now we're standing on the property for the Tana Mission Center, and things are getting really exciting. Right behind us, we've got the slab for the coordinating center that's already poured, and we're prepping the slab on the other side for the missions house.
We're so excited for this property, for these buildings, and all of the ministry that's gonna flow out from here.
The Tana Mission Center is now under construction. It will provide a safe place for their family and make room for their expanding ministry opportunities. But the work is not finished. Along with adequate housing for the Parris family, this project includes office space for ministry work and meetings, a school for missionary children, a facility for workshops and pastoral training, because many of these pastors grew up learning ancestral worship, along with a Bible training center for pastors. The Tana Mission Center will be a staging and launching point for ministry throughout Vanuatu and beyond. Today, the work is moving forward, but there is much more to do. At Builders International, we know that the hand of God is upon this work, but the Parris family still need your help. Will you join us to help empower missionary Sam and Lisa Parris in a powerful way as they bring the gospel to the island of Tana Vanuatu?
Tana Vanuatu, if y'all remember, that is where Elaine was stationed for a while as well. And, you know, one day maybe we'll get to bring Sam and Lisa this way. They've been on that island since March. I can bet they're outside a lot. Six people inside 480 square feet might be a little tough. When Teresa and I first got married, we lived in a mobile home that was 10 by 60. So we had 600 square feet. We lived there for 3 years. And it was just the two of us. First child wasn't born until after that. And so it was tight for two of us. I can't imagine six in 480 square feet. So they're still saved and love Jesus and love each other.
As far as you know,
yeah. So whenever we first learned of this, because again, it's going to be their new home, but also a training and resource center, and a lot of ministry will happen there. Is it a two-story building?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and what we just saw there, it's progressed from there.
It's substantial, it sure has.
Substantially, okay. And so when we first learned of this, church, because of World Series and because of Mission Possible and those events that we do in October, we were able to send a $5,000 offering right away and sow into that. And today we're going to give another large offering towards that. And like I said, we have that set aside. But if you want to give something extra towards this, I can guarantee you this is a good place to sow seed. And so we want to be a blessing there. So Ryan and Lacey, thank you guys for all that you do. I know you've been thanking us. And, you know, we're partners with them. Wednesday night, we've done 3 weeks. You're invited to come, jump in at any time, but we are doing a study on Calvinism versus Arminianism. And one of the big questions that people have It's when it, if Calvinism is true, which basically says God causes all things to happen, if Calvinism is true, then why give to missions? And why go and preach the gospel? You know, it's a good question, but we're not Calvinist. We believe that man has free will. And so we do need to go and we do need to give because we want to participate in the great commission. And so today is Mission Sunday. I think it was great to have Ryan and Lacey here today. They represent a number of missionaries. And so anyway, if you want to give towards that. Don, if you could have usher stationed on the way out, because some, after hearing the presentation, may want to do something. And so you can give today. If you're not prepared to give today, you can always give later. Just the thing you want to do is just designate on your check or envelope, this is for Tana or Ryan Moore Missionaries or Youth Camp or whatever. If you'll designate, we'll get it to the right place. And our secretary, Sandy, will, if she has any questions, she'll get in touch with you. All right? Stand up. I'm going to pray a dismissal prayer. And Ryan and Lacey, y'all don't even have a table, do you? So don't visit their table on the way out. They don't have one, but you can visit them. But after we dismiss, I want to remind anybody that's visiting, if you'd come by up the aisle across the hall and see Blynn, and we'd like to say hello to you and put a gift in your hand. But also, as people are going that way, if you're here today, I want to tag back to where we were at the beginning of the service. You are struggling in your faith journey. It is nothing to be embarrassed about. It is nothing to hide. You know, sometimes when you're going through something, the worst thing you can do is hide. Go ahead and just, you know, wave a help me flag and let us pray for you today. If you are struggling in your faith, we talked about let faith arise. We prayed about it, but we want to give you some one-on-one attention and we want to pray for you one-on-one. If that is you and you need prayer this morning, would you come this way before you go to lunch and give us the opportunity to pray with you? Would you bow with me? Father, for whatever reason, I was born here. Most in this room were born here in a country that has prospered and has plenty, has opportunity, availability. And then, Lord, for whatever reason, those children I saw in that video, they were born there. They had nothing to do with where they were born. I had nothing to do with where I was born. Lord, you told us in your word that to whom much has been given, much is required. I just believe that there is more expected of me than there is expected of some of those that I saw in that video. Father, may we fulfill our responsibility. Some will give a little, some will give a lot, as long as it's just what you have led us to give. Father, may faith arise in the area of giving, in the area of being generous. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being partners with those that are boots on the ground. Lord, I pray for Sam and Lisa and their four children today. Lord, they've been confined because of a virus, and so, Lord, I just pray that you just continue to bless them and use them, and Lord, should it please you, maybe we'll see them here in this house and hear from them firsthand. Father, I pray blessing upon Ryan and Lacey. I pray blessing upon Asher and Lindsay, upon their family, and God, I pray blessing upon the Ministry Builders International. Father, may we glorify you in all that we do when it comes to giving, when it comes to serving, when it comes to this area called missions. We give you the praise for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. The church says amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.